Joining us now is the mayor of Galva, Rich Volkert. And Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about Monday's Galva City Council meeting. But first, let's talk about a new business in Galva. Anderson Family Coffee has opened now.
Yeah, it's been a kind of a long time coming, especially for Brian. He's put a lot of work in. He took over the Opera House property a while back, and he's been doing a lot of remodeling. There are three offices there, or three offices, I guess you want to call them, the former Galva News, and then the resale shop, and then he is over on the east end. He's done a lot of work. It's taken it down to the brick and sealed that, and really yesterday was kind of his unofficial grand opening. He still can't have people in there yet because he's got a little bit more remodeling and a couple more hoops to jump through with inspections, but yesterday was the first day, and I was in the morning. I'm not a big coffee person, but I did buy a couple bags for the family, and I talked to some people last night at the council meeting and said that he had a really good day, so it's a culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people and finally paid off, and he's on his way, and he's I imagine there'll be more news coming out. He's got kind of a consignment shop in the middle, and he's going to have it kind of like a place where you can come in and talk and drink coffee. So it's an exciting thing for a small town to have a business open up, and it's been a long time coming.
Absolutely. And of course, it's been a long time coming with getting that property sold and up to code and back into use, considering the historic nature of it.
Oh, yeah. He said that he's done a little bit of work upstairs in the Opera House. He's got some plaster to take down and some walls to seal. And one of the things they found was, and I don't know how to describe it, I call it a banner. It's about 20 feet by 5 or 6 feet, and it's got to be 70, 80 years old, and it has some advertising on for businesses. So he's in the process. He said he's going to try to cut it up and save the better spots of it and frame it and put it on the wall. So that's kind of really neat. He said he's tried to do a little restoration, but the paint is starting to peel off, so he's going to try to just preserve it as it is. So that's, and then he's got some things he's going to do up there. He's going to work on the stage and take some rooms out. So, you know, he's been working on it for a while, and that's going to be a slow, tedious process, but it'd be really interesting with the history of it. I just can't wait till he's able to put something up there and then maybe have a musical performance or whatever he's talking about, whether to go with some kind of a lift or an elevator. That'll probably be the most expensive step he's going to have to take, but since it's on the second floor. But yeah, that's a building that a lot of people told me, and a lot of them aren't around anymore. They played basketball there back before the current grade school was built. So that was 90 years ago. So it's got a long history.
Absolutely. It's also a building that was threatened for some time, that maybe it might not be able to stick around. That's been talked about for a number of years, and it's just great to see a historic building find a whole new purpose.
Yeah. And it's one of the nice things is that when we get the money, the complete money there, and it's his, then we can use that for seed money to go after, maybe do another building. You know, if we can save one and move on, and rather than in the past we've had to spend, we probably spent $1 million in the city over the last 10-15 years tearing things down, and it's nice to put $60,000 in it, and now it's going to be something that he's put that much in and work on it, and you can save. It's kind of a nice feeling, and not just the work we did, but the past councils and mayors did. It's a long time coming.
And that work's going to pay off, too. As long as this business is there and successful, you've got whole new revenue streams coming in.
Yeah. You know, it's David said things have we've kept up and probably a little bit ahead, but now it's starting to level off, I think, as I just was listening to the radio this morning, and they said we're phase four, so the next step would be opening of everything. And we've had everybody, of course, has taken a hit. We lost one business, but we're hoping that now that we've got one or two new ones, that maybe now everybody can pick up. In a small town, it's hard to turn things around. You know, it's two steps forward and three back, and then one forward again. So
yeah,
it's a great time to be in Galva.
Well, let's talk about what happened at last night's council meeting.
The last meeting, really, we didn't have a lot to do. Last night, we had a couple people volunteer. Brian Anderson from the coffee shop, and then Carson Hazel said that they would be on the planning committee. And then Sharon Milliken took her brother's spot, who recently passed away, on the cemetery committee. So it's nice to have volunteers, and it's the kind of thing that the cemetery committee kind of oversees the cemetery. That's another thing we talked about. At the end of March, I believe it's the 28th through the 1st, we're going to have our spring cleanup, so that people need to take things off that they want to save. And then after April, the 1st of April, then people can put things back on for the spring. So believe it or not, it's supposed to be 47 today. So I guess we can use the word spring out loud now.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be lovely to see this white stuff finally go away.
Yeah, we're over here watching my grandkids today, and we saw the melting has started, and then we kind of, I guess you call it the mud season now, but it's nice to know that spring isn't that far away. So we had those appointees on there last night. We also spent some time. Greg Peterson was on, our city engineer, and we've going to spend about $216,000 on redoing some roads this year. We're on a 10-year plan, and we're on the last two or three years of trying to get things done. It's getting better. I know it's not perfect, but we're gonna work on James B. Young Road, which forms the north border of Galva on the north side of the high school, and get that done. We've got a bridge there we need to work on, and then we're going to go over on the southwest part of town and do some finishing work over there. So it's never enough, but at least we're going to be getting some of the neighborhoods done this year, and plus James B. Young Road.
Good to hear. I'm sure a lot of people are keeping track of the streets, and of course with the snow beginning to melt, obviously that's going to have an effect on getting some street work done.
Yeah, it's just I noticed I think our guys did one of the aldermen, Wade, said last night, he was really happy with the work our guys have done. It's not just the point of getting the roads cleared, but then now the water department spent two or three days on digging out hydrants so we could get the hydrants in case we need to use them. And I know yesterday they went through the plow again and tried to take off what was left. So, now it'll just be, taking corners and cutting them back so people can see. It's been we haven't had snow stay like this for a long time. So it's the kind of thing where usually during the winter, sometimes they'd be doing tree work or other things like that. But the snow plowing has been our biggest priority lately.
What else was at last night's meeting?
I'm trying to think. We are kind of looking at, we ordered a new snow plow in like October, and it's going to be here at the end of March. So it's one of those that, next year we'll be able to have another plow. This year, we were kind of limp with all the snow. We were limping behind because we only had one plow that we use for some smaller areas, and that one is kind of meeting its end. The police chief wasn't able to be there last night, but he had told me that the governor signed the new crime bill. And we have gotten a lot of information from different agencies on that. It's kind of a scary situation. You always want to do the best you can for the people, but sometimes when you pass legislation as quick as you did this, I saw in the paper this morning that the village or city of Washburn, Illinois, police force is disbanding on Friday because they can't get enough people to do it, and they can't afford to take over the responsibilities this new crime law is giving them. So it's now the county down there, I'm not sure what county that's in, if that's Tazewell or Woodford, mm-hmm. is going to have to take over. So it's kind of a scary time for that. I think most of the police departments do a really good job, but it's hard then to come up with the money to meet all the priorities that are there.
And especially in a town, you know, smaller towns, this is going to become an issue very soon.
It is. And the problem is then the counties have to then patrol and keep up with the areas. I think it's a necessary thing, but I think it was done too quickly and without thinking. Of course, you know, Illinois has two states. It's the northern part, Chicago, and then the rest. And although the rest of the state does its best to keep up, you know, with a lot of these smaller areas, and we're in the same thing. Departments are having a hard time finding part-time people because not a lot of people are going into it, and then the financial part of it also.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. And then, of course, we're still figuring out what's going to happen with these unfunded mandates. Thankfully, the city of Galva did get these used body cameras from Kewaunee. Otherwise, that could be something that you're talking about budget-wise.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just you don't realize how expensive it is because, we try to have 24-hour protection 7 days a week, but there's times where it's just impossible to do because of the cost of it, the training. And our problem is that I don't know if we've got one right now in training, but we train them, we spend the money, we get some of that back, but then we can't afford to pay what other places do. And I know they move on a lot of times to Kewaunee, Geneseo, and then they lose people to Peoria or bigger areas. You know, it's just you just can't afford the tax base to pay them. And now that they have these unfounded mandates, it's just hard to put the money aside. You know, it is. Mm-hmm. There's so many things going on that you can't keep up with everything.
And you're going to have an IT challenge as well with the new requirements on keeping body camera footage for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. You just, anymore, you've got to the point where, you used to put everything in a safe or whatever and keep it, but now it's the point where you've got to keep these records. I'm not saying that, you want to have a good police force, which I think we do and most areas around here do, but it's getting to the point where you can only do so much. And like I said, there are Washburns in Henry County too that decide that they're not going to do it, then that just stretches the county out even further.
Hmm. Well, Mayor Rich Volkert, anything else you want to add today?
No, just I appreciate you giving us the time on here. We're trying the best we can, and like everybody else is, I appreciate, the volunteer work that people do in the communities, and now it's time to move on, and hopefully all the businesses can be open. We still haven't been in a restaurant for over a year, and a lot of people are, still doing carryout, but that's the big thing now is hopefully the vaccinations will continue, and Dr. Fauci said it's going to be 2022 before we get back to normal, but hopefully we get closer every day.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Now, thank you so much for Mr. Mayor. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you very much.